Lord, we're going to be reading the first 11 verses of Psalms 37. Girls, Anna and Sarah Ann in the front row, I used to really stress that, the young people sit on the front row. Okay, Psalms 37, verses 1 through 11. Do not fret because of evil men, or be envious of those who do wrong. For like the grass, they will soon wither. Like green plants, they will soon die away. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord, trust in him, and he will do this. He will make your righteousness shine like the dawn, the justice of your cause like the noonday sun. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret when men succeed in their ways, when they carry out their wicked schemes. Refrain from anger and turn from wrath. Do not fret. It leads only to evil. For evil men will be cut off, but those who hope in the Lord will inherit the land. A little while and the wicked will be no more. Though you look for them, they will not be found. But the meek will inherit the land and enjoy great peace. Now, I preach from this psalm. It's one of my favorites, about once a year. And it's particularly appropriate today. Now, when I started on this fretting business, it was years ago, and things were much better worldwide than they are today. So if you want to fret, read the newspaper or watch the television. There is great cause to fret. And the problem is, when we're fretting and we're not praising the Lord, we're not giving God glory. When God looks down, we're supposed to be a soft spot in the world, salt or whatever you want to say. God is supposed to look down and see you and me praising the Lord for his goodness. How many know the Lord is good? Amen. Has he been good to you this last week? Yes. See, and God wants that coming up, because there's so few people in the world that are glorifying God. All of them that don't know the Lord and those whatever. And God looks down and he's hoping to find you and me praising him, you know, thanking him, which in the days in which we live shows faith. It shows that we believe that God knows what he's doing. Now, I'm older than everybody in the room, and I've been around and around and around. And I can see a lot of things in the government that some of you will not be able to see simply because I'm older. I can see the hypocrisy and the lying and the narcissism, and the rest of it is clear. And the graft and corruption and the maneuvering and the agendas. And it's very difficult for me to avoid thinking about this and getting mad about it. Tony and I both get mad at the stuff that's going on. But we're not supposed to do that. And I have to keep reminding myself about Philippians chapter 4, verses 8 and 9. How many know that passage? That's a good one to know in these days. Philippians 4, verses 8 and 9. Finally, brothers, whatever is true. Now, our society plus the media are all one great lie. They are one great lie. That's all there is to it. The politicians, it seems everybody expects them to lie. So they don't want anybody to feel, you know, that they were wrong. They lie, I tell you, like thieves, the best of them. And I guess it's part of the job. I guess you have to lie to be a politician. But anyway, there's probably some good ones. I don't know. I don't follow them very much because I don't believe what they say. Just when you think one of them's good, then you find out that he's messed up pretty bad. So I don't... It doesn't help to think about such things. And it doesn't bless the Lord to go cursing the politicians. That doesn't bless the Lord. You know they're going to lie, and so be done with it. And don't expect them to tell the truth. They're trying to convince you to give them a job, and that's the end of it. Whatever is true, so you have to make yourself think about true things. What is something that is true? What? God is good. And you know, that's something to think about. And that is the truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So truth actually is a person. It's Jesus. It's more than reciting facts. Scientists discover laws and facts that are verifiable and so on, but they have not found truth, because truth tells you why it's like it is and where it came from, what its purpose is. That's truth. We know about molecules. We know about atoms. We know about the nuclei of atoms. At least we're getting to know about them. But that is not truth. That is just a description. The truth is, where did it come from? And why is it here? And only Jesus can answer that. So he's the truth. And so when we get stuck for something to think about, we think about Jesus and think about how good God is. Marvelous. But you have to make yourself, because if you don't, you'll find yourself saying, oh, now what they're doing. Now look what they're doing. Somebody dies of Ebola, so they're saying it's racism. Or some other thing, you know, it's all messed up. And you can have your mind like that, and God looks down, and you're supposed to be worshiping at the altar of God and rendering praise. And what are you doing? Fussing about something that some person thought up that doesn't know God, doesn't know what they're doing. See, and I started on this subject about 4 years ago. And it's worse now. Boy, 4 years ago was nothing compared to the stuff that's going on now. And if you're going to please God, you can't spend your time thinking about, you see, this is about what you're thinking about what is going on in the world. And if you have to, shut down the television and quit watching it and quit listening to all the garbage if you can't handle it. It's making you a sourpuss and making your home a place of bitterness and arguing. I wish my husband would shut up once and quit talking about politics. What's wrong with this one, that one, and the next? Am I coming across? Do you understand me? Is there anybody in this room that does not fret about what's going on? one person back there who was 13 years old. Give her a couple years. She'll get the hang of it. Whatever is noble. Now, we don't use that word. It's an adjective. We don't use that much, I don't think. I don't remember reading ever seeing it in the newspaper or anything, because people are not noble anymore. There's so much. I'm kind of afraid for the young people, and I don't hold them all over the young people. That's a species out here. Well, most of us were young people at one time or another. So I'm not holding them down as being especially bad or anything. But I notice that somewhere nobility has been lost to our culture. And you see the awfulest things that go on. In the sexual realm is one thing. It's like, you know, what's wrong with you? What's wrong with sex? There's nothing. God created sex. You might as well use it or you lose it. You know, if you go out on a date, what's a date if you don't have sex? What's the matter with you? But see, the sense of nobility, the idea of a knight in shining armor, we think, there never was such a thing. Well, there was such a thing. There was such a thing as honor in our culture. There was such a thing as honor. And people, most of them, respected it, even though they didn't always do right. If they saw somebody that was honorable and noble and did the right thing, they respected that. But today it's an occasion for a scorn. You know, what's the matter? When are they going to get the message? You know, nobody's perfect. We're all in it. I remember seeing on the television, there's a poor old lady, and they had thrown her out of her house, and all her possessions were on the sidewalk. Yeah, this actually happened with her. First place, whoever threw her out there was not noble. Well, some guy comes along, and he sees a chair or some piece of furniture that he wanted, so he took it. I mean, the lady couldn't defend herself. And so he just walked off with it, saying, it's a jungle out here. You know, that's terrible. I can remember that one standard. Of course, we all know about George Washington and the cherry tree and saying to his mother, I can't tell a lie. And that was big. Then every mother wanted her son to be president. You know, he'd be noble and tell the truth. And now the thing is, I can't tell a lie. Bush did it. There's something changed. See, I can see it from a better perspective from most of you, because I can remember when we were taught the story of George Washington and the cherry tree, and, you know, all the kids took that in, and they believed that. They believed that. And a teacher had a Bible on her desk always. I can remember in the sixth grade, Mrs. Kennedy, every day she'd read a portion of the Bible. And I remember her reading the 24th Psalm. And it says, lift up your head, O ye gates. And I couldn't get it, but there was a popular culture at that time. The word gate was something like today it rocks or it's hip or something like that. That's what it used to mean. The gates, that was, you know, that you were in. And I thought that must be what it means. All those hipsters were lifted up somehow. But nonetheless, she did read the Bible every day, Mrs. Kennedy. I remember that well. But there wasn't the same scorn in the young people. We know it all, and yeah, the old people, they don't know anything. Nobody knows anything. It's okay to do pot and get your toke and all that stuff that is common now. But you see, it's a loss of virtue. And I don't stand up here and say, do good. I know we have problems doing good, and the only answer is Christ. And you know what Bill said is so true. I could have leaped out of my seat. At one time I could have. Let's say I had those kind of thoughts, because it's true that the judgment seat of Christ is operating now. And you can see that in the line of redemption. It's part of the day of the fulfillment of the Day of Atonement of the Jews. And I'll tell you this, until you pass by it, are you out there? Some are listening to me. You're not going up in any rapture until you go through the judgment seat. Now, I said, why do you say a thing like that? Because the rapture or being caught up is a sign that you're attained to the first resurrection and you're one of God's first fruits. And that is not going to be true until you're judged. And as Bill said, it's not some horrible thing. You may have gone to a traffic court or something and you don't want to go to anything like that again. And so it's not that kind of judgment. It's the little things. It's just exactly as Bill said, the comment, the response you make to somebody, especially somebody that gives you a dig, and you figure, well, I can dig just as well as she can. And it's that little decision. That's where the judgment seat of Christ is operating today, in all the little things that you do. That's 1 Peter 4, judgment must begin at the household of God. And until that is completed, you're not eligible to be resurrected. And that's what the rapture is. First must begin with a change from corruption to incorruption. It's not going to happen until God is satisfied that spirit has been judged and is pure. So all the cynicism that is pervading, and the young people, why? Because they see it from their parents. The parents talk one thing in church and do another thing at home. And what do you think the kids are going to do? They have to have models. You know, it used to be Jack Armstrong, the all-American boy. I remember listening to our Zenith radio. Eat your Wheaties and be like Jack Armstrong, the all-American boy. But see, the kids didn't laugh at that. Today, that would be laughable. Ha ha, Jack Armstrong, I know he does his thing in private. It is a cynicism, and it's wrong, and God sees it, because God is not like that. God is straight, and you talk about a Boy Scout, that's God. He has another part of his personality that is crafty, but he much prefers being like a child. Where's Tirza? By the way, you dare come in here without Tirza? Boy, you've got courage. Where is she? In the mother's room? Well, everybody, no, I won't say that because too much disease is going on. All right, Tirza's doing fine. And she's smarter than all of us, I think. You think about whatever is noble, and when people are saying, yeah, that's the way he is, he's not like that. You know, when we came here to Mount Zion, there was a lady who is not here anymore, but she said, come on, you don't really live like that. And I thought, what do you mean we don't live like that? We're only reciting what we're doing. And anybody that's been in our home knows we live exactly like we preach it. She couldn't believe it. She says, you know you're not like that. That's how deep cynicism is in our culture. It's not noble. It's not noble. And the Bible commands us to think about things that are noble. Brendan, don't ever get cynical. God is good and God is right. And there are people like that. And some of them are poor as church mice, and you'll never see them because they get up early and go to work and come home late and they're faithful and true to their wives and their children, and they go to church and they're obedient to the gospel. There's millions of such people. Don't ever believe that there's not truth in the world. There is. There is, and you can be one of them.
That's right.
Whatever's right. How many know some things are right? They're just right. When you see, you know, that's right. That's like, well, I don't want to say too much about Bill. He won't be able to wear his hat. But that was right. What he said was so right, it was righter than right. And there was a day when I could leap out of my chair. Yeah, we have stairs in our house that go up. It's a two-story house. And I get up there by hauling on the banister, and I haul myself up the stairs. And I used to go up them two at a time. But Beth came to spend the weekend. She goes up them three steps at a time. Whoa, whiz. I thought there was a day I could almost do that. Whatever is pure. Again, that would be important, I think, for young people to remember that no matter how much talk goes on about boys and girls and sex, there is such a thing as purity.
That's right.
And it's mainly up to the girls to remain pure, because the boys will get whatever they can. That's the way boys are. And it's up to girls, most boys, not all boys, it's up to girls to hold the standard of purity. And if they don't, of course, in these days you get a disease. God is, you know, not pleased with what's going on sexually at all. And if any boy will not, if he runs over the girl's restraint, oh, you know, what you are, all the kids say you're a nerd, you know, blah, blah. If she gives in, then she's got to wrestle with herself. You know, why did I do that? And then when you get married, it makes a big difference, because the man thinks he's getting something that's new and for him. And the girl knows in her heart, well, I've been playing the field and everything to be popular. It's a bummer. It's better to be pure. And any boy that won't agree with that is a bum.
That's right.
He's a bum. And he's not going to respect you. He will not respect you. He'll give you a big song and dance, and then when he's had what he wants and his glands are satisfied, he's off in other fields. Not good husband material. No, I didn't mean to say all that. Whatever is lovely. There's a lot of lovely things in the world, and you can concentrate on that which is ugly, or you can concentrate on that which is lovely. You're going by in your car and say, oh, look at all the billboards. How many are they going to put up? We've seen 10,000 billboards in the last mile. Or you can look out and maybe there's something nice to see, a nice rural scene, and comment on that. Am I right or wrong?
Amen.
Think on these things. And if you look at the ugly, you're not going to glorify God. And he looks down and says, what is he complaining about? I've given him everything that anybody could ever want, and now he's complaining about the billboards. Find something to glorify God about. Look and say, God, is so, you've made such a beautiful world. And how anybody can take water vapor and make clouds out of it. Boy, you got to give them credit for creativity. Water vapor, that's all clouds are. And the sunset and sunrise. And you haven't got anything to glorify God about? Come on. You know, I glorify God listening to roosters. Do you like roosters? I love hearing them, because, you know, As soon as they wake up, they lift up their little heads and they greet the day. That's so wonderful that God has created that. And farmers, then that's their alarm clock. They get up and have a cup of coffee and they're out taking the cows out. They don't really eat until about 8 o'clock, but the rooster's this alarm clock. It's up and announces the day. Here I am, you lucky hens. Next time you hear a rooster, don't complain because it's early. Look at it from his point of view. Whatever is admirable. Can anybody in here think of anything that's admirable? Not a thing. Nothing's admirable. Well, there's got to be something admirable. Well, having thought of nothing, I would say go in and look at Tirzah. But I'm not going to say that because of all the respiratory diseases going around. You probably go over and sneeze in her face or something. And so we don't want, we're trying to keep Tirzah going. And so if you can look at a distance, that's admirable. And I think, and every time I think about Tirzah, she's been over the house and she has a habit of crying. And so I made a little song on the piano. And would you believe, and Rebecca was holding it, and all the time I was playing it, she was quiet. And that's something. You can't ever figure out a baby. But then I look at her and I think, and somebody would murder that child for convenience. Whoa. You can always give up a child for adoption. You don't have to murder them. But they're murdered and say, well, I have my rights. If I want to murder the child, I'll murder the child. Who's going to say anything about it? That's our culture. That's evil. And that's why we're getting faced with the enemies we are. Whenever Israel sinned, up came the enemies. And the United States is getting enemies because of abortion. Because God is so gentle. You can see God in a baby. That a baby portrays God more than just about anything else. The innocence, and to kill that life, to kill that life. Well, maybe you were 15 and you're embarrassed, so you've got another life to consider. Who knows what Tirzah will become? You know what her name means in Hebrew. You are you are our delight. You are our delight. Isn't that a wonderful name for a child? I wonder what Jason is going to name the child if it ever gets born here. It'll be a great name, probably a Filipino name, possibly. What?
Madeline.
You've already got him named?
Yeah.
And what's his name?
Madeline. It's a girl.
And what's her name?
Madeline.
Oh, she'll probably be beautiful to pass all expectation. Wouldn't that be terrible to murder that child? Wouldn't that be terrible? And yet it's common. Our president endorses it. But I'm not going to spend my time thinking about that. I'd rather think about Tirzah or Nadine, whatever her name is. I tell you, it's the acoustics here. If anything is excellent, can you think of anything that's excellent?
God's word.
God's word. Oh boy, we're religious today. Can you think of anything else that's excellent? There's nothing in this crazy world is excellent. I don't want to give Bill a big head, honest. I'm not going to do it. Vi, what's excellent? Tell me, you're a software engineer. What's excellent in your field?
Linux.
Yeah, there are. If you're in that field, there are a lot of things that are excellent. Well, we can think about that, Tony, just as well as we can think about things that are rotten. Sarah, the next time he comes out commenting on the Congress, say, honey, let's think about what's excellent. And what's excellent to Tony, one thing is olive oil. He loves olive oil. So the next time you're thinking about Mr. Boehner or the other things, Sarah, say, olive oil. So.
Garlic.
I don't know. To some people, that's excellent, but not everybody. Or praiseworthy. Well, I thought the pageantry this morning was exceptionally good. So I'll give those dancers and flag wavers a compliment. Praise. It was very exciting. A banner going up in the air. All right. Now, here's the commandment. It doesn't say, I think it might be psychologically helpful for you if you would keep some of these in mind. It just says, think. It's a command. Think about such things. Well, what you can do is type them out or write them out, put them on the refrigerator. Huh? And every time Tony goes to the refrigerator, which is often, you can... Tony, I'm giving you a bad time. Actually, our house is assisted living. I assist Audrey, and Audrey assists me. And then Tony and Yanni come and assist both of us. And then Kathy Ott comes and does the interior decorating in assisting us. So we're in assisted living, and it's a lot cheaper than if you pay for a place. All right, now we're back at Psalm 37, and this again does not say men and women, intelligent people, college graduates, you know that it's better to have positive things in your mind than it is to have negative things. Don't we all know that? Yes, we all know that. And that's wonderful, and you should really someday think about the advantage of positive thinking. Remember, a wise man said, as a man thinks, so is he. And keep that in mind. Now he says, do not fret. How many here do not know what fretting is? Esther, do you know what fretting is? It's when you're thinking about things and you feel crabby about everything. You know, cereal doesn't taste good. And I'm not in a mood this morning for eggs. And who wants orange juice? And the milk is sour. That's fretting. Now you got it. Do not fret. But then it gives us an object. Because of evil men. Now, if we're to believe the newspaper and the television and the internet, we got a lot of evil men in the world. Have you ever noticed that? Some, a few have noticed it. Others didn't notice it. They thought they all were telling the truth, and they're bringing our country to a golden horizon. We'll be lucky if we survive another 5 years. Do you know that? That's the way we're going. We're making enemies on the left hand and on the right. We made an enemy out of Putin, and of course we already had one with the president of Syria, and now the prime minister of Turkey is mad at us, and of course the lady in Germany says you've been spying on me. So one by one we're managing to alienate all the leaders in the world. Isn't that wonderful? That's sure to be a blessing to us. Just when we need help, when we go to Mr. Putin, he's going to laugh. Because when we had the chance to make him a friend, well, I could go into that and I won't. All right. Do not fret because of evil men. Do not do it. This is not something that you can do or not depending on grace. You don't do it. You don't do it. And we say, and I say to myself, how in the world can I read the paper in Newsmax.com and WND and not fret? How am I going to do that? Anybody, any suggestions? Don't look at them. Fortunately, the computer does have a button on it, puts the screen to sleep. Or be anxious of those who do wrong. Now, we've got leaders who, and I'm not going to mention them, who obviously are doing wrong. Obviously. And what does it say? You know, that's what that's telling us. That our problem is we envy them. We wish we could be like them and we can't, so we curse them. Think about that. Be envious of evil men. So they're millionaires, most of them. Most of the members of Congress, I guess, are millionaires. The president certainly is. Harry Reid certainly is. Millionaires. Think of it. How many are glad to have their bills paid at this time? A few. How many wish their bills were paid at this time? More. For like the grass, they will soon wither. Who will? The evil men, Tony. I've lived to see that. I remember Hitler and Stalin. I remember them very well. In fact, I remember the day that the Japanese attacked Pearl Harbor. I was down in the basement shoveling. We had a coal furnace, and I was shoveling ashes out of it. And it was a Sunday. And I remember I could hear the radio saying, the Japanese have attacked Pearl Harbor. And then the following day, Monday, the president called us. The principal called us all in to the assembly. And they had a radio on the platform, and we could hear the members of Congress one at a time vote whether or not we should go to war against Japan. And there was only one person who voted no, and it was a lady, and so I forgave her. No lady wants to go to war, but all the rest of them, yes, 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 yes. So like that, we were at war with Japan. And you know, Hitler, most of you are too young to remember, but he was going great through Europe. And he got as far as France. And he was marshaling all his forces. England was down to, I think it was 4 weeks of food supply left for all of England. And boy, you know, we knew these things and it was terrifying. But God worked. And he had Hitler's astrologers. He was following and all these different things. And he got the idea, I'm going to invade Russia. I'm going to invade Russia. And all his generals said, don't do that. Don't open up two fronts. You're getting ready to go into England. Don't mess with Russia. Nobody told Hitler anything. He reminds me of somebody else. None of his generals could tell him not to do that. Napoleon had tried it. Don't do that. But he did. And he lost. That's where he lost, was in Russia. The whipped army came back. Some of them froze to death right there in the battlefield. And they came back, and meanwhile, President Roosevelt had done something about food for England, and so England survived, and that was the beginning of the end. But I'll tell you, there were terrifying days. But I remember, because we thought Hitler was going to rule the world, and he came close to it. And if he hadn't gone after Russia, he might very well have ended up with rulership of the world. And then, like green plants, they will soon die away. Now, how afraid are we of Stalin now, or Hitler, or Mussolini, or Tojo? Huh? They've withered. And all these things that are going today, the ISIS and all the rest of it, you'll see the day, if you live long enough, when they wither. It always happens. It has happened throughout history. The wicked never prevail finally. Just short-term things to get God's people praying. Now we've got Ebola. I don't know how far that will go. We see the way our government is handling it. Many of our may not approve of it. But there'll come a day when Ebola is history. But right now, you've got the parents of 4,000 soldiers who have got to start praying because their sons and daughters are going to be brought over to the center of Liberia. And people were dying from Ebola just from cleaning a car. The latest person to contract Ebola is a nurse in the Dallas Presbyterian Hospital there. Just from cleaning the room where the man had been, she contracted Ebola. So can you imagine if you had a son or a daughter dumped in the middle of Liberia without training in medicine? So we've got a lot of anxious parents, and it's why? It's because God wants American people to stop their foolishness and start praying. Not fret. Fretting does not accomplish one blessed thing. Prayer does. If you can do something politically that you know from the Lord is going to be helpful, that's good. But fretting does nothing. You say, well, if I don't fret and worry about it, who's going to? But it doesn't help for people to worry or to fret about ISIS or Ebola or Syria or Iraq or Turkey. It doesn't help one bit. So what do you do? Da, 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 da. You think about things that are noble. Oh, things that are faithful, things that are trustworthy. You make yourself think about them. But I don't want to be messing with my mind. If I feel like fretting about ISIS, I'm going to fret about ISIS. Well, when you do, you're sinning. Why are you sinning? Because you're going against the Bible. That's why you're sinning. Oh. Trust in the Lord. Say that with me. Trust in the Lord. And then what? And do good. People saying today we don't have to do good. We're saved by grace. They don't know what they're talking about. We have to do good. God expects us to do good. Well, what is good? Well, you know it when you come to it. You know whether to do good or bad. You find a $10,000 in a billfold, you know what is good, what to do about it. You can choose the good, but nobody will know. Oh, yes, somebody will know. The one that matters will know. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture, which means that we're all cows. Dwell in the land. Enjoy where you are. If you have a spirit of adventure, ask God to remove it. Adventure you don't need. Huh? Oh, but if I could move here or there. You know what? The angels get busy and pack up all your problems and go with you. Because they're coming from within. Not from without, but from within. Oh, if I could only move to Missouri. Is that where Ferguson is?
Yes.
Missouri. Oh, if I could only move to Missouri. Now, wouldn't that be a great decision? By the way, Lloyd's sister lives in Ferguson. Did you know that? His sister lives in, huh?
Near
Ferguson. Well, that's bad enough, man. They got problems there. If I could only move to the hills of Kentucky, you know, and be 10 miles from my nearest neighbor, so I wouldn't have to listen to rock and roll all the time. Oh, you'd find something would be wrong. The place would get infested with skunks or something. And there'd be mother skunks and little skunks running all over the place. And they're so cute, you wouldn't have the heart to do anything. And you wished you stayed in here. There's people that wish they stayed here, believe me. Now, here's a promise with a condition. Delight yourself in the Lord. Now, that it doesn't say it'd be nice if you delighted yourself. It's a commandment. But I don't feel good. Well, pray that God will make you feel better. Just tell the Lord Jesus, the Bible says I'm supposed to delight myself in the Lord. I woke up this morning, I had a sore neck. And I tell you, it was not I who was a pain in the neck. I had a pain in the neck. And I thought, what am I going to do about this? And the Lord said, well, your neck is my neck. And I know when the Lord says that, it's going to be better. So in an hour or so, it's all better. Praise the Lord. I go around all... Oh, I can't go today and preach. There's no way I can do that with a stiff neck. I can't do that. So you put a happy face on things. Think happy thoughts. Now I sound like a do-gooder. Think happy thoughts. You say there aren't any happy thoughts. Yeah, there are. You might have to invent one. Delight yourself. It's a commandment. Well, what if I feel sour? Well, quit feeling sorry for yourself and delight yourself in the Lord. Lord, you're so wonderful. And think about something that's good. If you had breakfast, that's more than a lot of people had. Huh? You got a roof over your head, that's more than a lot of people have. If you don't have anything, if you don't have anything else to pray about our brother here, name slips my mind. Hal, Brother Hal. He's got bad problems with his kidneys and all. And kidney problems are no joke. They're no joke. And you sure wish you didn't have them. So if you want to delight yourself in the Lord, just say, praise God, I don't have kidney problems. And then pray for Brother Hal. Pray for him and really mean it. Or you might be the next one with adrenal problems. Huh? Hope not. You know, think of something. Brother Dow used to say this, how many are glad they're not in jail? That was one of his favorite things. That's how he could tell how many had criminal records. All right. But there's a promise that goes with this. Delight yourself in the Lord and He will give you what, Marla?
The desires of your heart.
Think of it. You know what? You don't even know what they are. You just think you do. Oh, if I just had this or had that, and then you get it, and 2 weeks later you forgot you have it. God will give you the true desires of your heart. That's a promise. It cannot be broken. If you will delight yourself in the Lord and quit belly aching, God will give you the desires of your heart, Barbara. You don't know what they are. Of course you don't, because you don't know your heart, but God does. This word cannot be broken. If you delight yourself in the Lord, He will give you the desires of your heart. The word cannot be broken. Commit your way to the Lord. I've been preaching that for 3 years, haven't I? Just keep telling Jesus all the time, everything you're thinking, what you're doing, what you're planning, and giving thanks, constantly talking to Jesus. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in Him, and He'll do this, namely, give you the desires of your heart. Shall we stand? Now, I feel like singing some good old song, but I can't think of one. We got to sing a song, because the Bible says they sang a hymn and went out.